Blog Talk Radio.
Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful. You're listening to thinkbigradio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. We'd like to thank you all for your continued support and spreading the word about thinkbigradio.com. Have you spread the word today?
This show is sponsored by Deep Exposure, the first of its kind content-based directory created for individuals that want to expand and expose their talent, their business, and information about their community service. It is a directory where your voice is heard. Go to deepexposure.com. Welcome to Ponder This, What is Love? A podcast series discussing and defining the definitions of love with your host, Raven, an advocate of love. Because we are a love lifestyle brand movement. Sit back and enjoy the communal conversation. I am the I am, pure and simple, easy and supple. I am the vibration that exists in all. I am the beginning and the end. I am the being that begets the human. I am the source of life, the existence of all that is. I am the flow of joy and peace. I am, through me, the laws of life. I roam the earth seeking and searching for no one, for I am internal. I am the one. I am wisdom and the expansion of life. I am the abundant and full of life. I bring no pain. I bring no fear. I bring no insecurities. And I bring no anguish. I do not break. I do not tarnish or fade. I do not call you out of your name, and I do not strike or criticize. I am the meaning of life. I am the verb of life. I am the existence of life. I am not feeling, but an energy of life. I am the meaning of life. I am the verb of life. I am the existence of life. I am not a feeling, but an energy of life. I am your passion. I am your desire. I am your want. I am your need. I am that which your heart houses, your mind seeks, and your body stores. I am that which is internal. I am love.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good happy Saturday morning. I wanted to start off with that serenade. I love that poem that I wrote, who knows how many. Oh, no, actually, I wrote it last weekend. There I go. Forgetting when I do stuff. But I am the I am. I am love. I am Ray Vision, your host. For Ponder This, What is Love? I wanted to, of course, greet you in the morning, but I also want to talk today a little bit about the evolution of love. Love is evolving. And it's kind of interesting that I found something yesterday in my beginnings of my cleaning up. I'm about to become a minimalist, I believe. And I found something that I wrote when I was 24 years old. I am currently in my 50s, and that's where I'm leaving that, because I'm still trying to get used to that number. But I wrote this, I think this is March 1990, 24 years old, and I call this Falling in Love. It's amazing how I have evolved from this space. So I'm going to read it. I'm not going to perform it. It's called Falling in Love, and this is what I wrote. Falling in love can be an evil thing. It can It can tear you apart. It can sour your soul. It can frown your smile. It can break your healing heart. Love is a four-letter curse that never seems to end. It can ruin your fun. It can ruin your life. It can hurt and never end. Falling in love is something we all have done. But what is it? What is it? What can it be if your lover is always in doubt? I would love to remember who I wrote this about, who I was hurting from, because that right there, when I read that, I was like, oh my God, you know, what was that about, you know? And 24, so you're, you know, just getting out of college, you know, that's when you think, you know, everything's rosy and, you know, you believed in the fairy tales of, you know, the princess that was sleeping, that you would kiss her and she would wake up and, you know, you guys would be in love and happy and in bliss forever. And ladies, you were probably dreaming about the white knight, you know, coming up on that horse and, you know, or that tall, dark, and handsome guy that, you know, just would treat you fine and right and well and, you know, something happened. He said the wrong thing, she said the wrong thing, and it just went downhill from there. And, you know, I think that was, too, at a time when, and I was having a conversation with somebody and we were talking about expectations, or somebody on Facebook, a woman was talking about how she was attracting the wrong type of man. And I, you know, made a quote that, you know, change your vibration, you know, on the type of man that you're seeking or wanting. And actually, that really, that vibration has to be within you. You know, you changing your vibration so that you can attract the same vibration that you're feeling about yourself. You know, you feel you, then you're going to find a man that feels you the same way. And so I said something like that, and I got a little beat up by two women that responded to that, saying it was mumbo jumbo. But, you know, we really have to understand that, you know, love, you know, begins with self. It starts at home. You know, everything starts at home. Everything starts with the one. You can't skip to two unless you have one. How are you going to get to two unless you have two ones to make that the two, right? And so in order to get there, in order to attract that person that you're seeking, you within yourself have to vibrate that yourself. And so I guess when I was 24, I truly wasn't feeling myself as well, because this person that I attracted obviously really hurt me. And I'm going to have to think back to 1990 and where I was. Was I still in college? No. Yeah, college. It'd be a year before I graduated, 1991, from New York Institute of Technology. So I believe those are the years. It's been so long, folks. So I want to prepare you for a beautiful woman that I'm going to be bringing on in a few minutes. Her name is Tiffany Knowles. She is the CEO, I believe, and founder of Nude Magazine. I've known her for a while. She has been in my circle. She is an awesome talent, a writer. She's a journalist. She'll give you a little background on who she is. But she's been in my circle. We've done some work together in the past when she was living up here in New York. You know, she has her online magazine, Nude Magazine. She'll talk about that. She's also an awesome voiceover artist and just a magnificent human being. So I'm proud to have her on today. And I will preface with what she said. I asked her the question, like I do with all my guests, ponder this, what is love? And she responded by saying, love is sacrificing yourself from something outside of you, which I thought was very interesting. And so I'm going to ask her some questions about that, and we'll expand on the question of what is love. Tiffany Knowles, how are you today?
I am doing very well. I'm awesome. Thank you so much for bringing me on this morning, bright and early, on a Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Let's start the day talking about love, that's for sure.
That's right. I think, you know, if we start talking about love, let's hope we can move in love for the rest of the day, right? And so it's always good to get up and, one, be thankful that you're alive, right? And then hopefully that will lift up your spirits and being in love. So introduce yourself to our audience.
Okay, well, I'm Tiffany Knowles. I am the founder of NEWD Magazine, which is an online magazine where we connect art, spirituality, and progressive culture. And we do it for a young millennial audience in order to kind of push issues that are concerning us on a very deep level, but we look through it. Look at it through an artistic lens, a lens that may help them grapple with hard issues. And I'm sorry if you hear an ambulance, but my house is on a busy street. Okay. Anyway, so I'm not in New York, though. Now, it would be worse if we were in New York. Just let me tell you.
Right, right. That would make a whole lot of sense, right?
Thank you. All right. So I lived in New York for 12 years, and I moved back to my hometown, South Florida. So now I've been here since 2016. Left the city that never sleeps. Left a lot of beauty there, and left a lot of pain there as well. So I'm here now in Florida, and I'm the managing partner. My brother and I own a small business lending firm called Global Business Lending. So we help businesses with working capital, connecting them to investors. And then I co-authored a book with my dad called Hola America, Guts, Grit, Grind, and Further Traits in the Successful American Immigrants, all while being a professor at a university here in Miami. So that's what's going on. Mm-hmm.
And you dance. I think you should mention that too, because I like seeing that on your Facebook page. I'm so proud of that.
Is that like overwhelming? Is it too much dance on my page? Because it's one of my biggest passions and hobbies. So I love doing dance stuff.
Yeah. No, I don't think it's too much. I think people need to move more. And actually, you know what? Yeah, we got to talk after this because, I mean, part of my event, I got to promote the event too real quick. You know, April 29th, we're going to do the kickoff to Ponder This What Is Love, which is a communal communications. It's a live extension of the radio show and meeting with my audience and having that conversation with them. But on, you know, April 29th, I actually asked Cashel Campbell, who is a dancer as well, and she's gone to school for movement therapy, to come in and start the event off with some movement, you know, because I think our bodies have to move. I mean, that's an expression of love as well. Dance really puts you in that good vibration mode, you know what I'm saying?
Of course. And I think that for me, it helps a lot. It reduces stress levels. It is something that helps you connect with other human beings, you know, from a place of touch, which is very healing. And also, you know, great endorphins that you feel, warm, fuzzy feelings that help you just feel a lot better about your day, about your life. And then you can pass that joy on to someone else.
Exactly. And sometimes it takes two to tango, right?
It sounds actually literally.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, let's get into the conversation about, you know, what is love. I want you to expand, if you could, before I get into some other questions with you, on your answer that you gave me in terms of what love is. And you said it was love is sacrificing yourself from something outside of you. Explain that to me, please.
Yeah, so sacrificing yourself for something outside of you. So I get my first definition from God because that's what he did, right? So we know that God has always wanted to be in relationship with us and with human beings. And he okay, so he created us, which is wonderful, but then he saw that we were losing relationship, and so his son, he decided, okay, you know what, I'm going to send my son down to the earth. I'm going to make him take on human form so that they can feel my love in a human, from a place, a tangible place. And so, but in that sacrifice of letting his son come and live among us and show us how to live and teach us principles to live, that son also had to sacrifice himself, his body, and leave the earth. And this is what was done in order to fulfill Jewish tradition of blood sacrifice. So Jesus, in human form, had to sacrifice himself in human form to fulfill that blood sacrifice according to Jewish tradition and Jewish law. So gave up his body, and it was that kind of helped me understand what love was, because he wasn't doing it for himself. He was doing it for other people in relation to him, you know?
Yeah,
so
we are nothing
unless we are in relationship to another person. So that's why I told you that love is about sacrificing oneself for something outside of oneself, you know? And it comes back to you, though. It comes back to you because that thing that you're sacrificing for, it is so that you can be in relationship to that thing, that person, you know? So
can I ask you this? If it comes back to you,
mm-hmm.
then do you actually become the something once you're in recognition of that relationship?
Do you become the something? What do you mean by that?
Because you said, you know, you are nothing unless it is, you know, unless you're giving, it sounds like.
Right.
And so mm-hmm. when it comes back to you, it's almost like a boomerang. If
yes.
I'm sending it out
yes.
and it comes back to me, then actually that would, if you're empty by not giving, which I kind of understand that, if you're empty by not giving,
mm-hmm.
and then you start to give, because that giving does mm-hmm. fill you.
It sure does.
So
it sure does.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's
okay.
sort of like what we were talking about with dance. Same thing, same concept.
Mm.
Once I'm on the dance floor and I'm in relationship to another person, I am communicating with them in dance. It's a wonderful feeling I give them. I give them a wonderful feeling. And that feeling doesn't stop with them. It comes right back to me because I'm like, oh, what a wonderful dance. I love the smile that I made them have. I love them saying, oh, man, that was a great dance. Thank you so much. That fills me up. So while I give to another person, I'm getting it right back. So I feel like with God, it's a forever dance. It's a forever dance of a relationship dance, pretty much, you know?
Right.
Exactly.
Right. No, I get that. That's beautiful, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. So let me ask you this. Let's take it back a few years in your life. You know, growing up, what did you learn about the meaning
okay.
of love? Like, if you, you know, you're in your home with your parents and you're growing up, or, you know, what did you learn about love as a younger person?
Okay. Well, my first, well, of course, my parents and my grandmother, they were my first models for love. But then they also
mm-hmm.
sent me to Sunday school, and I would learn a lot about love from the scripture. So I remember the first love scripture I learned was 1 John 4:7-8, and we learned it, we memorized it. So anyone who loves is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love.
Mm-hmm.
Love
mm-hmm.
one another. So that's the scripture mm-hmm. that we learned, right? And I remember
mm-hmm.
saying it all the time, and I made it into a song. And then I began to think about the words. I mean, it was a child, but I didn't think about the words. So wait, if I don't love people, I don't know God? So the person who doesn't love doesn't know God. That's terrible. Then I need to love.
Right.
I wanted at a very young age to be close to God. So I knew that if I were gonna be close to Him, then I had to figure out this thing called love. I'm pretty sure I didn't figure it out at such a young age, but I definitely knew there was a connection between knowing the heart of God and loving people. I knew there was a connection because I knew that scripture, right?
Right.
And it's so funny, like we learn these things. We learn nursery rhymes and all these things as a kid, but we don't start unlocking them until much later on in life. But
right.
It's good when you teach your kids these kinds of things, because then they start unpacking it as they grow, as they become a teenager, as they become a young adult. They start unpacking it, and they remember. I remember that if you know God, you have to know love, and you need to love people. What does that mean? And I remember how funny, because, you know, I learned also that loving means sacrificing yourself, as Jesus did, dying on the cross for our sins, right? I remember my little niece, when she was about, I guess, 6 or something, she said to me one day, Auntie, I love you so much. I love you so much. I'll die on the cross for you.
Wow.
And I was thinking, wow, just as a little girl, just as I was, you know, I know she doesn't understand the concept fully, but she knows what premium love is.
Mm-hmm.
And the most premium love is sacrificing yourself for someone else. And she knows that in the story of Jesus. So she decided to tell me that one day. This is how much she loves me.
Right. That's
going
phenomenal,
back to
actually.
Sacrificing
you...
yourself.
Yeah. That's one of the three, agape love and the other two.
Filio love and eros love. Exactly.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And agape being the highest, correct?
Agape being
the
highest. Absolutely.
And how old was she at the time?
I think she was about 6. Yeah.
6 years old.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. But I think, you know, the innocence of children, I think, is the true nature of love. Children are taught to hate. You know, I think, you know, love is natural. Like you said, love is God, right? And God is love. And if we're made in the image of God, then we're also made in the image of love. So it's funny, because I think I was talking to somebody about the innocence of babies. You know, I think the reason why we are so drawn to, or maybe I wrote about it in a blog or something, the reason why we're so drawn to infants and birth, because it's a reminder of our own innocence in coming into this world. And because we've learned so much as adults and have been swayed left and right in different areas of our life, that we, you know, we look upon a child and like, oh, boy, if I could be back there, you know. You know?
That's right.
And they,
that's right.
And they have no judgment, and they just love you. Hey, you're holding me? I'm loving you for holding me. So I'm going to smile. I'm going to coo. I'm going to, you know. And there's a part of us, I really feel, that misses that aspect of our childhood and our innocence, unfortunately.
I think so, too. And when she made that statement, I was like, oh, man, it's such a pure definition of love. It becomes complicated
right.
when we grow, right? It becomes more complicated.
Right. Totally.
It's as simple as that.
Right. How did it make you feel at that time? Like, in like being an adult, you know, now, like, how did that make you feel?
Oh, wow. I thought, first off, you don't have to die on the cross for me, honey. Like, you don't have to. Jesus did that. But it did make me feel, wow, if she understands sacrifice from a simple childlike place, how many other people on the earth does she need to start teaching that principle too? And
right. Well, out of the mouth of babes, right?
Right, because I feel like a lot of people who are in love relationships, who are in marriages, don't understand that. They don't get it.
Mm.
And I feel like they enter into these relationships so prematurely because they don't know what love truly is.
Right.
And I think what she was saying was that love means I will lay down my life for you. I love you so much. I lay down my life for you. It doesn't have to be on the cross like Jesus, right? But it can just be laying down my life for you.
Right. I'll take a bus for you. Like, get hit.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
And it's not the cross, because where are you going to find a cross these days? But, so actually this is a great lead into my second question that I wanted to ask you, because it's like, you know, if you're thinking back to you being 6, 7, 8, 9, you know, how are you defining love? You kind of talked about, you know, this is what you were learning in church and, you know, God is love and I better be love. But, you know, what was your definition at that time of what love looked like for you? Like, what did you think you had to do? Yeah.
Very good. That's a very good point. About what did I think I had to do? Now, I knew what I was learning in church, right, and Sunday school and stuff, but then I also had these models that were very fallible. And these were humans that loved as well as they could, right? Because there are limitations to your humanity at times. So, yes, a lot of the definitions of love came from me looking at models of what love was. And I was raised in a Caribbean home. My parents, my mom is Jamaican, and my father is Bahamian. And so there was a lot of demonstration tangibly of what love was, and I picked up on that. So my grandma would cook for us, and she was my maternal grandmother, so she's Jamaican.
Okay.
And I remember when my younger brother and I, we did a tribute to her at her funeral. She passed recently. And we said, it didn't matter if you hurt her or if she was angry with you, she would cook for you. Like, you just finished having an argument with her, and she'd come out into the living room and say, what do you want to eat? What do you want to eat? I'm fixing something to eat. What do you want? So it's sort of like, that was one thing. That was one thing that we remember. We were like, it didn't matter if she was upset with her husband or with us or with her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
She always prepared something for you to eat, which means that she would always sacrifice herself in the kitchen, in the heat, the boiling pot, the chopping of the onions, the scallion, whatever, because she knew that nourishing you was very important.
Mm-hmm.
So she would sacrifice herself for something outside of herself. Often, when it came to that, for sure. And then she talks about, you know, like having just two pair of shoes, just two pairs, because her daughter needed more for school and all that. So she only had two, and that was okay, and that was fine, you know. And then my mom taught me much of the same thing, because that was something she picked up from her mother. So in the same way, she would always make sure that our clothes were better than hers, and that my brothers, they had the name brand stuff that they wanted if they wanted it, and she would have something from Kmart, and that was okay, you know? And then, of course,
so
my dad.
That sacrifice you talk about,
Yeah, the sacrifice. And then my dad, he was a person of his word, he still is, and he loves to, if he's going to do it, if he says he's going to do it, he will always do it. And because he doesn't, it's like his word, just like a Roman soldier, when the word leaves the mouth, it must be done. I am what I am that I am. When the word leaves your being, it must be fulfilled.
So you're right.
He sacrifices himself in order for that word to be fulfilled. So that's kind of what I knew growing up.
And if you can learn something more about that too, it's like, be careful what you say.
Yes, absolutely.
Like,
because
still,
the spirit world doesn't know the difference.
That.
That's right. If you say it will be done. Do you have time to fulfill it? And when you do say it, the spirit world is listening as well. So what happens is the words become material. Like, the words start to materialize. you know.
That's right. Well, yeah, there's power in the word. I love, and I use that a lot. When if I'm speaking to anybody or having a conversation, because there's power in the word, I said, come on, what's the first scripture? In the beginning was the word. But a lot of people interpret what that is, but I literally take it as W-O-R-D. In the beginning was the word.
Yeah.
And that word is what formed life, and so, hence, what you speak will form the life that you live, the life that you have.
That's
it
right.
Will manifest itself into existence. I'm like, people don't play. And, that's the power of prayer as well. What you pray for, it might not be spoken, but it's coming from your heart. So you manifest there the goodness and the wellness of everything that you, put your mind and especially your heart to. So I totally understand that. And actually, you just gave me some insight to who you are. So now I understand why you work so hard at doing what you do. Because you put
That's
your
right.
word out there and you do, you make sure
so
you
live
up to
it. So you now figured it out. That's it.
Yes.
That's what
I'm
talking about. That's right.
I get it. I get you now, too. So where are you at now? Tiffany, I'm going to break this up. I don't, because I'm on various screens right now. If anybody wants to call in, let me do this, 909-232-9222. If you hear anything, want to comment on anything, you want to, speak to Tiffany and ask her some questions, you are free to ask. This is a communal conversation about what is love. And we all come from various degrees of love. And so to learn love, to feel love, to know love should be a conversation, especially if we want to be better in our lives. So, again, the number is 209. It is 909-232-9222. And you know what, Tiffany? I'm going to take a little break. I'm going to play my next serenade, and we're going to come back and talk about where you are now with love.
Okay. Perfect.
You are my star, my moon, my universe. You bring me rivers of light and galaxies of delight. Your smile lifts me. Your voice enriches me. Your heart is appealing, and your eyes lead me to the inner essence of your soul. I am spiritually attracted to you and physically delighted by you. My paths beyond today are bright. Even though you warn me about the rubbled shoulders and the ruts that align your journey, I too come with warning labels, but they are to heal on this journey. I'm optimistic. I'm willing to pave a new path with you that starts with us. Never to be burdened. I want to be a delight. As I grow in me, a part of that growth is for you. My 100 of me will be your 100 of me, a gift of myself for you to enjoy. I will forever thank Source for this crossing of paths. I asked, and it was delivered. I devour the joy that I feel in being connected to you.
All right. That was a poem I wrote recently about a young lady that I'm no longer in a relationship with. but she's a muse. A lot of my relationships are muses for my inner desire to share love with someone. So that's an untitled one. I'll probably find a title. Might even put that one in the book. So my next question, Tiffany.
Yeah.
Tiffany, where you are at now in terms of your definition of love, moving from your infancy to your teenage years into adulthood, I'm thinking, there's some lessons and probably some growth in how you now see love from that time of, just growing up and what you've learned. So Could you describe some of that, the changes, like how you saw it then and where you see it now, and what got you to a newer level or a higher level of understanding love?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. A lot of broken heart got me to a higher level. Okay, but I will say, okay, I'll say that I have retained a lot of the information that I got growing up looking at my models, which were my mom, my grandma, my dad. I did retain a lot. So I definitely the sacrifice part, for sure, I know that is true of love. Okay, that will never change. I believe it is certain that if you are in relationship with somebody, you must sacrifice yourself at some point in the relationship. So got that. Love is also saying what you're going to do, saying what you're going to do and then doing what you say. I do believe that is true. So the word and action, the word and deed working together. For sure, I know that. But
okay.
There are some other things okay. that I know I have changed in my definition, because I know now that my models were limited. So oftentimes they would hate to see you do something that they didn't want for your life. And so they'd throw a fit about you doing that thing. They didn't view that lined up with the vision in their mind. So that's a human limitation. When we see someone doing something that we don't want them to do, oftentimes we can break relationship with them because of that.
Right?
I don't like what you're doing. So you know what? Forget it. You don't have my love anymore.
right. Right.
I've seen that happen.
Right.
And I've been on the receiving end of that. So what I have noted is that love is paradoxical. So it can be very tricky sometimes. It can hurt you, right? It can hurt you. And let's say somebody told you, oh, let me tell you a secret, but you can't tell anybody, okay? I'm going to tell you this, but you can't tell anyone. But then keeping that secret will not be good for them, not be healthy, right?
Right.
And you break the secret, because if you kept it, then they die. Then they get mad at you for breaking their trust. But, you know, I had to tell somebody because you needed help, right? You were
right,
in a relationship. I had to tell somebody. So, you know, he'd punch your lights out, and then you won't be living on the earth anymore. So I had to get you help, right?
Or sending
somebody to rehab, right? They don't want to go to rehab. They're fine. They're perfect. They're living life functionally as an alcoholic or as a coke addict, and they're okay. No, they're not okay. They're not living their best life. So you have to send them to rehab. They have to feel the shakes and the shivers, and they're hurting, and they hate you. Why don't you let them come home? They hate you. That's
it's
a paradox, because you love them, so you have to hurt them. They have to feel pain. Or you're hurting, right? When you're loving someone that way, you feel pain too. You're like, oh my gosh, I just need to answer their phone call and bring them home. No, don't do that. And that strong person has to experience that. And allowing someone to fall down to help them become stronger, you know?
Right.
You're a physical therapist, and you're loving someone through their therapy. You see them hurting as they're walking up and down the Stairmaster or on the treadmill. They're falling. No, they have to in order to get that knee stronger to where it can actually walk again. So those are things that I've learned, and it goes back to what I learned of God. And God has taught me a lot in regards to this. I've had a lot of broken hearts, and I'm like, God, why would you allow me to have hearts broken like my heart is broken, and it's happened again. Why would you allow this, for goodness sake? Stop it, you know, from going that far. But I will say, I have learned so much, and I've become such a stronger human being, and I can teach this concept to so many different young women, because they come to me and they ask me lots of questions, and then I can speak to them on this level, because I've experienced a lot of hurt and heartbreak. Mm-hmm. I imagine I wouldn't be able to speak on this level if God didn't allow me to go through some of these things.
Right.
Yeah.
Because that's one of my things is I don't believe. I feel that there's an allowing aspect to the emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Pain, yes, does exist, but it's not because of love. And I'm trying to find in my head through my Christian training, where there is a scripture that, I don't know if it's Jesus or Paul or someone says, but it's like on the tip of my brain right now, so I will explain it. It's mm-hmm. There is a, I guess almost in the sense of the free will of our choices, I think God always presents the good and the bad. It's always there for us to choose. And in our growth, this thing that we call pain are actually growing pains, because we're learning. Almost like, you know, we were saying earlier about our youth, we're growing into learning what love actually is. What is that sacrifice that we're making? And how much do we make? And we have to, yes, I definitely, my favorite story in the Bible is Jesus drawing in the sand. And the people, the men bring this woman to him, stating that she was a sinner. And they're going to stone her, right? And my picture in my head is always Jesus sitting there like, oh, my God, why are you bothering me with this? Mm-hmm. She made a choice, and so did that young man. And so have all of you. You've made choices that were not good for you. Choose better. To me, that's what that means. Just choose better.
And I think in the end, he tells the woman, go and sin no more, like
and
pronouncing
no more.
The word, go and sin no more, go and never do that again.
Don't do it again. If it hurt,
right?
If there was pain, even in love, still love. I mean, never remove your love, because that is God, that is you, that is who we are. But don't put yourself in a situation that is going to be hurtful for you. And so I'm hoping to write a book on this too, because in my relationships I've learned that the pain choices, if something, almost like the poem that I wrote, you know, love doesn't call you out of your name.
Yeah.
So if you're calling me out of my name, then maybe I don't belong here. You know, maybe I need to step out. God's got something better for me.
Well, you know, that's powerful. Can I just speak to that same?
Sure.
Can I just say that same poem, that same serenade? You also talked about the vibrations about, well, that was that poem, right? About the vibrations of the wrong choice.
Right, right.
Okay, good. Okay, so I remember that was the poem. So I thought about that and I was thinking, oh no, you actually made a choice here that wasn't good for you. So let's examine ourselves. Let's examine self and determine what is in me that is causing me to make this choice, that is causing me to attract that. So I'm going to work on me so that I don't attract that anymore, so that I attract good and not evil, and so that my mind and heart are trained to look for good. And I'm not going to go into relationship with a man who will beat me again. I won't do it. I won't go into relationship with a man who is selfish and never calls and cares and looks after me. No, I'm not going to get into relationship with that again. I won't do it. And I feel like that that may take a little bit of growing pains to get there.
It does.
Right? It may
it
not
does.
Happen.
I totally
overnight.
Agree. No, okay. I totally agree. We are human. And, you know, and I think that's where our faith has to come into play in knowing, in that thought when you're processing who you are and what you've become and the choices that you've made, at the end of that sentence, at the end of that thought, in a sense, we should or we could be in a knowing that God's got something good for me. There's something better. I made the wrong choice. But if I allow God to make the choice for me, that person's going to walk into my life. That's you know, about leaving it at the altar and getting out of our own way, knowing that, okay, you know, that perfect man or woman is, he's there, she's there. But
that's
that
right.
faith
I think that,
of knowing.
That faith. Yeah, mm-hmm. for sure, for sure. And I also remember faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God and speaking the word mm-hmm. of God that you know and hear. So as you're speaking,
true.
As you're hearing, as you're declaring, you're speaking, you're hearing, declaring, it has to match up. Like they all have to correspond.
Yeah.
So you can't read the word and know love is patient, love is kind, and then you say, all these men out there, they're so selfish,
yep.
they don't care about you, they're not kind, they're not generous, I can't deal with these men, I can't deal with them.
Right.
Oh, for real? Okay.
Right.
So you're not
right.
speaking the right word then, because that's what you're going
right.
to attract, what you're speaking, declaring. Okay, okay, so you want to be like that. You want to be in that position to not find a man who corresponds with the word. Right? Okay.
Exactly.
Great. Good for you.
Right. That's right.
That's
speak for you.
Get.
Don't put me in it.
That's right.
Again, you know, it goes back to the word, right? It definitely, and that too is my favorite scripture, Corinthians
1 Corinthians 13. Yep.
1-8. Yep. I quote that quite often. So currently, well, I guess we did kind of talk about, you know, currently where you are in love. Let me ask you this. You said you live in Florida.
Yeah.
And Florida is having some issues around these school shootings, some current news conversation
mm-hmm.
right now.
The Marjorie Stoneman Douglas school that, yeah, so there was a shooter who killed 17 people and was on Valentine's Day. So that...
Mm-hmm.
That's been our state of mind for the past several weeks. Yeah.
Right. And where do you think the world is in terms of love?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we live in such a fear-based world, and these children are growing up in an age of technology where they have access to a lot of things. You know, we have the whole bullying aspect, you know, shoot, you know, look who our, no pun intended with the shoot, but I was about to say, shoot, look who our president is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, things that are, you know, being said about countries and about people and people feeling more freedom to hate, you know, really instead of love. And these children who could be searching for themselves, feeling that they have to fit into a box or aren't comfortable, you know, our home lives are a little chaotic in the sense, you know, where you have to go to work or you have to do this, you have to, you know, bills and money and but there's no jobs and, you know, the way people, reality shows and, you know, the news that scares you about the snow, especially if you're living in New York, you know, everything is so fear-based.
Yeah.
And so
that's right.
That type of vibration in our children, you know, we're not saying, oh, give and let's, you know, let's go out and feed the hungry. Let's go out and raise money to help, you know, other children who don't have. We're not doing the giving more so, but we're talking about our egos and, you know, the seven sins of the world more so than, you know, the seven greatnesses of the world. So how do you think that plays a part? You know, where is love in society today? Your opinion.
Yeah, so I think that we're full of fear. We're full of fear. And I know that based on that scripture, 1 John 4, that whole chapter, verse 16 to 18 talks about how there is no fear in love. They are the antithesis to one another. Perfect love drives out fear. They can't live in the same space because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made in perfect love. And so if we are in that space of fear, love can't get in. Love, though, drives out. Perfect love drives out the fear. So if we were to examine ourselves and examine where we are as a society and as a world, we'll know that fear is filling up our heart. And it's hard for those two to exist. So the more we abide in love, and that means, as it goes back to my definition, sacrificing yourself for another. So we're talking about let's start volunteering again. Let's start giving. I mean, and then the students at that school, that's the best way to drive out the fear. That's the best way to start serving each other, you know? And so many of them are actually doing that. You know, they've come face to face with mortality. And so they're going out and they're serving at soup kitchens. They're serving in churches. They're going out to our state capital, Tallahassee, and speaking on behalf of those who were fallen and how we need to have better gun laws so that this doesn't happen again. So they are serving the public. And I think in doing that, a lot of that fear will fall off. But that's the principle for all of us. And so many of us, we've not undergone that kind of terror that school went through. But we can do the very same thing that would allow fear to be driven out. You want to serve and you want to give to others. Anything outside of you, and you'll start feeling alive again. Mm-hmm. And that's it. That's the principle for life. I believe that's it.
Yeah, it definitely is. It's a huge principle. And to tell you the truth, it's what Jesus did all his life was give and give back and some for it. If it wasn't just a word, you know, it was, you know, healing. You know, if it wasn't healing,
that's right.
It was helping. If it wasn't helping, it was serving. If it wasn't serving, he gave his whole life. Not just, he didn't give just his life, he gave of himself to many that he walked amongst. And I think the inner essence of his love is what draws people in. You know, love expands. It doesn't divide, it doesn't conquer. And fear tears away so many things. It's like the only thing fear can offer you is death. You know, stress.
That's it.
Heart attacks. That's it. Diseases. But you ever notice that these long term relationships between two people that are in love, how old they are?
Yes.
Two people that have been in a relationship.
And yes.
Recognize their age, people, you know, and I think, you know, love expands. Like you said about dancing, it fills you. It's an endorphin in itself, in a sense. And so you can only live.
That's so true.
You can only live.
You can only live as long as you've loved.
That's right, right. Actually, I like that. So that's why some people might be living forever. That's why love is eternal, right?
Right.
The spirit of the soul.
So if you want to live forever, if you want to live a long time on the earth, then practice love. And now I know, okay, all the couples that are in their 90s.
Yeah.
Love is all over them. And that's true. And so, you know what I can't deal with right now, and I've been talking with a few people on this. Why are we getting divorced for irreconcilable differences? It gets me so annoyed. Because if we understood the principle of love, love can reconcile a whole lot. I don't know.
You're right about that. I don't think we know. I don't think we're getting married for love.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
I think we are either marrying for taxes, marrying for children, marrying to serve ourselves. He wasn't
got
there
it,
for me.
Got it.
Okay. Well, were you there,
were
for,
there
you?
For him?
were you there for him? I mean, if you're there for you, this is one thing I've noticed, Tiffany. Mm-hmm. That when I am flowing, and I think you see me flow, even especially when I'm videotaping and I like something or shooting something, and I'm like, ooh, that was good. You want to give that to somebody else. It's too much for you to carry.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
When you are explosively in love with your life, even me cooking, you know, oh, this is so good. I want to share it with somebody.
Yes,
you know,
you do.
And,
it always happens that way.
Yeah. And so that's, you know, unfortunately, I think that's, we don't know what it is anymore, which is why I'm on this mission. I don't know if you know, I'm calling it a love lifestyle brand. We've got to get back into a love lifestyle. We need it. We are so in need of this. I don't want to see children shooting themselves or shooting others or shooting their families. I think there's a kid up here that shot his family.
Jesus.
That means we are in a very destructive space, that we are so far away from our center. And the center is love, the center is God, the center is source, whatever you call your higher being. We are so far removed from that we can't, our children, because I think our generation's kind of okay, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're giving life to children that I don't even know if they see love. Some of them, you know, some of them are. This is not the whole world, of course. But the few become the many if we're not careful.
That's true.
And so we've got to do better and be better. And so, you know, that's just what I want
Absolutely.
To say. Do you have any final words for our audience before we close out?
Okay. Well, I'll just go back to Gandhi, be the change you want to see in the world. I think it ties into what you just said. So you can only start seeing change if you start being it first. So that's
right.
Why I say perfect love casts out all fear. So start driving out the fear by doing, and you begin. And you, so I always go up to people and I say, can I dance with you? Because I know that we're not going to be a community if I don't start myself first.
Right.
So can I dance
right.
with you? Oh, can I show you how to do this? And there we have it. Me being the change I want to see. You know?
There it is.
There we go.
Perfect. Perfect. Tiffany, this has been an awesome conversation. Thank you for being on. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
Always a pleasure talking to you, my dear friend.
Okay. Take it easy. We'll talk later.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Folks, that was Tiffany Knowles, an awesome communal conversation. I hope your morning with me and with her have been awesome. With her, and she also edits my stuff sometimes. With her and I have been awesome. This is Ponder This, and where you can find Ponder This online is by going to ponderthisone.com. That's one spelled out, ponderthisone.com. There you'll find more information about our Saturday shows and what our lineups are. You will also be able to buy products from us. We got a Ponder This, What is Love mug that is out. That's how you can support our program. If you love what you heard, definitely buy a mug. Get your mug every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. Fill it with your favorite beverage and sip and listen with us with your favorite food along with maybe a friend and some family members. Definitely. You can also find out more about our events at ponderthisone.com. April 29th, we're going to kick it off, the Love Lifestyle brand. It's our mission from this day forth to bring love back into the world, to empower ourselves in love, with love, by being loving. Love is a verb, people. It's something that you do for self and something that you do for others. I will be speaking. I, again, am Ray Vision, and I'll be speaking in Harlem at Image Nation or Raw Studio in Harlem on the 29th. The event is going from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. Cashel will be on hand to show us how to move and start feeling our bodies again, because we just talked about it with Tiffany. You know, dance has a certain vibration and energy to it. And so we want to bring that vibration and energy back into our bodies. And then we'll have a conversation. I'll do some poetry, and then we'll have a conversation. And the book is coming out, and so those that are attending have the availability to get the book as well, which is the same title, Ponder This, What is Love? That is part one. This is a series of journaling. It's a journaling journey of me discovering and conversing about love. So this first book is setting a precedent of where I am currently in the state of love and how I got to this space of love. I am a unique individual with some unique insight, a spiritual being, truly a reflection of God, and I want to kind of start talking about that and how I came to be and where I am and how I think and feel about love, and how I express love and have helped, you know, other people in finding their ways to love or being that supportive love person for them. And so again, find us also on Facebook. Ponder This with an exclamation point. I always say it's my face with the Ponder This in white and red. You'll find me on Facebook. You can also go to Twitter and find me at Deep Seeing. That's under my company name. The parent company to ponderthis.com is WE Productions. DPSEEING on Twitter. And you can also find us in Pinterest and Instagram under Ponder This. So again, next Saturday, 10 o'clock, our guest will be Veronica Conway. So make sure you check in with us. That's going to be another deep conversation. You thought today was deep. Veronica's going to bring it, and I'm going to bring it with her. So check us out next Saturday at 10 p.m. This is Think Big Radio, and I thank you for being on and being a part of the show.
You're listening to thinkbigradio.com. Where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful.